We start with crime news as the Chatham County Sheriff's Office is investigating a shooting. It occurred this morning at 11:40 a.m. just a little bit west of Farrington Village. It was at the intersection of Moore Mountain Road and Hamlet's Chapel Road. A suspect allegedly exited a newer model white Mazda SUV, then fired shots into the victim's car, striking one person who was injured and had to be transported by EMS. The suspect is described as a black male, approximately 6 feet tall. You can find more details in the news article on chapelboro.com. We also had another crime situation on 15501 earlier today. Happened near the Durham Chapel Hill line at near Garrett Road in 15501. There is an accident that WRAL is reporting. It was a fatal hit and run. And for a while, all southbound lanes toward Chapel Hill were closed as Durham police investigated. That investigation does not appear to be hindering traffic anymore. But we will keep an eye on that, particularly when we take a look at traffic here in about 15 minutes or so. An update now on a story from yesterday from Orange High School. Orange County Sheriff's Office is investigating an incident where one student assaulted another during a passing period at the school. Not many details available, partially because both parties involved are minors, but the school did go into a soft lockdown briefly yesterday afternoon. More school news now from Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools. Starting on May 4th, all CHCCS school board meetings will move back to Lincoln Center. Until then, they will continue to be at the Southern Human Services Building. We also learned from CHCCS that they are seeing a bit of an uptick in COVID cases in the schools. Last week, they saw the single largest jump in cases since February. Meanwhile, statewide, the numbers continue to be somewhat encouraging. Emergency room visits, hospitalizations, and COVID particles found in wastewater all decreased slightly this week, according to data released today by state health officials. Looking to local government now, the Chapel Hill Town Council meets tonight at 7 o'clock. Their agenda includes a zoning application for a proposed seven-story, 150-unit apartment building that would be at the corner of Columbia and Rosemary Streets downtown. Council members also will open a hearing on UNC Health's proposal for redevelopment at Easttown, and they'll consider adopting a three-year plan for strategic focus areas and goals. Last night, the Carrboro Town Council voted on hiring a consulting firm to conduct what's called a disparity study, trying to get some data behind our understanding of the local business community, particularly when it comes to racial and gender diversity. Here's Carrboro Mayor Damon Siles.
This is an effort to understand in some level of detail what our local business climate and community look like, and in particular around racial and ethnic disparity and gender disparities, and to really dig into the different sectors of our local economy and see where are we missing good representation in our local business community in terms of race, ethnicity, and gender. The reason a study like this is important is because in local governments in North Carolina, you really need to do an empirical study of this kind, one that's based on good data, before you as a local government can launch any kind of what's called a minority or women-owned business enterprise fund or program. You have to have it based on some real data. So I'm excited about the effort, and then we'll use the results of that study to inform future efforts around supporting local businesses, especially BIPOC-owned businesses.
That's Carrboro Mayor Damon Siles speaking there. Over to campus now, where it is the final week of classes, which means students are preparing for final exams. It also means the university's faculty council is wrapping up its work before a summer break. The council held its final meeting of the academic year on Friday, and they celebrated a transition in leadership. They also voiced concerns with UNC leadership about proposed state legislation that could threaten the higher education model. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell has the details.
This faculty is willing to dig in, to disagree, to make time, to listen, to learn, to try things, and to persevere.
That was Mimi Chapman, who took over as the chair of UNC's faculty council in 2020. An associate dean for the university's School of Social Work, Chapman assumed the role during the turbulent summer when faculty and students were unsure of when it would be safe to return to campus amid the COVID-19 pandemic. When she started, Chapman listed the safety, stability, and reach of faculty position as being priorities for her three-year tenure, The outgoing chair acknowledged Friday, though, how difficult it was to maintain those three things, saying faculty had to dig deep in their resolve to stand up for their academic values.
We had to do it regarding the tenure case of Nicole Hannah-Jones. We had to do it regarding the potential unplanned ousting of our chancellor. And recently, of course, new issues have and are surfacing almost every day.
Among those new issues are some bills in the North Carolina General Assembly. More than 670 UNC faculty members signed on to an open letter to the state government, UNC system, and UNC Board of Trustees, detailing their belief those groups' actions are threatening the principles of academic freedom, including one state proposal targeting academic tenure. House Bill 715 says it will attempt to, quote, prospectively eliminate tenure to establish a uniform contracting procedure for faculty. In their letter, the UNC faculty argued this is among the latest examples of an overreach by the state government into the operations and governance of college campuses. During Friday's faculty council meeting, UNC Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz said he'd heard many concerns about this, not just from the Chapel Hill campus, but from other North Carolina chancellors. He said similar bills have been filed in the past, and he plans to educate state lawmakers on the potential negative effects it would have for the UNC system.
Eliminating tenure would be disastrous to our universities and our efforts to retain and recruit the world-class faculty that we enjoy here at Chapel Hill. And it would be, in my opinion, disastrous for the state of North Carolina.
UNC Provost Chris Clemens agreed, saying that the investment in faculty represents an investment in North Carolina's basic academic freedoms. He brought up another proposed bill, HB 97, which would create a new class required in the curriculum of each UNC system school. Like the faculty in their open letter, Clemens called the bill, quote, not constructive and likely difficult to implement.
But the bigger problem is it reaches into a place where we have declared, and I think consistently said, it is not appropriate. The faculty determine the curriculum of the university, even in a sketchy format that stipulates readings for a particular class, might be appropriate for high school, but it is not appropriate for higher ed. And I think it begins to erode what we think of higher ed as for and what it is that we do.
The UNC Faculty Council will reconvene for its next regular meeting in September, where it will then be led by Beth Morocco, who was elected to succeed Mimi Chapman. You can find some of Morocco's comments as well as updates on UNC's School of Civic Life and Leadership by going to chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Thank you, Brighton. More news from campus. The campus is going to be quite busy later this afternoon as former Vice President Mike Pence is speaking. And there is a counter rally plan to happen simultaneously. So a lot of action going on over on campus. Our own Brighton McConnell will be there. So we'll bring you all the details for how that event and the counter rally go tomorrow on News on the Hill. Also from campus, the UNC Board of Governors announced their 17 outstanding faculty members in the UNC system for this academic year. Winning recognition from the Chapel Hill campus is Patrick Conway, Professor of Economics. Congratulations, Professor Conway. Time now to look into the world of sports. And in sports, we will start with some fun basketball news that we just got across the news desk this afternoon. And that is that we have a new director of team and player development for the UNC basketball team. And that is Marcus Page. He will now be on the bench during games next season. Congratulations to Marcus Page for accepting that role. You may remember that Jackie Manuel previously had that role. He accepted a full assistant position at American University. So congratulations to both of those former Tar Heel basketball players continuing their coaching career. And it'll be fun to see Marcus Page on the bench next season. One other basketball note from the transfer portal. We learned the location of Puff Johnson's new playing career. He will be suiting up for the Penn State Nittany Lions next season as he has decided on them as his transfer destination. Also from the transfer portal, Don Chapman from the UNC football team had entered the portal, and now he's stepped back out of it and will return to Chapel Hill for his final year of eligibility. Good news for the Tar Heel defense next season for the football team. Looking over to baseball now, the Diamond Heels bounced back in a big way last night. Of course, they got swept by BC over the weekend, and things were not looking good. They got things right in a hurry last night. They had 15 runs cross the plate in the first four innings alone, and that was en route to an 18-2 win out at Bosch Ammer Stadium, leading the way Mac Horvath with two home runs. And they'll look to continue that momentum in a three-game set on the road at Virginia Tech this weekend. And they need some magic. Carolina's lost five of their last six ACC games. But head coach Scott Forbes was staying positive even before last night's romp.
That's the key. They're 18 to 22-year-olds, a couple 23-year-olds maybe with COVID and stuff in your 5th years and 6 years. But, you know, part of being a leader, and that's why they call you a coach, is you got to help these kids. You got to drag them through failure. You got to love them. But you also have to be honest with them. There is some tough love and challenge them. No great players are great if they can't be challenged. But being negative, it doesn't do anything except guarantee you're going to fail. So, you know, I'll try to pull them up, build them up, and say we've been here before. We created the situation. What are we going to do about it? And we'll move forward and try to improve today to be ready. Like I said, you know, the great thing about baseball, like you said earlier, we're going to play four games this week.
Head coach Scott Forbes speaking. Diamond Heels baseball there. Again, they will get started tomorrow with a weekend series. Actually, I believe that's Friday that they'll have that weekend series up in Blacksburg. Got some other teams in action tonight. The women's lacrosse team starts their ACC tournament run this evening with a game that will be televised on the ACC network. You can get the details on the How to Watch article in the sports section of chapelboro.com. If you have any question about how stacked the ACC is in women's lacrosse, well, here you go. Carolina is the 3 seed this year. Even though they're 6th ranked in the country, they are the 3 seed in the ACC tournament. They will face the 6th seed tonight, which is 17th ranked Clemson. The game will get started at 6:30. The winner of that game will face either Syracuse or Virginia Tech in the semifinal matchup. Also in action tonight, Carolina softball hosting UNC Charlotte. They get started at 6. They're feeling really good about things after a weekend sweep of NC State, and they are currently in the midst of a 10 out of 11 winning streak. So they'll look to keep that going against Charlotte tonight at 6. Good luck to them. Looking to the pros, the Durham Bulls lost a day game yesterday, 11-5 to Memphis. Back to a more conventional 6:30 first pitch for tonight's second game matchup against Memphis. And that's game 2 of 6 in that series.